Oh, there. Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, I pushed it the wrong way. It was probably on the entire singing, and then I turned it off. You can have a seat there. Yeah, those seats are for you. I don't need this microphone. You're going to need it. So these two have been going through along with Reggie. Reggie's not here today. He's celebrating his birthday today. Went to Tennessee to see his brother. Also had a birthday on Tuesday, Danya. And was it Thursday? Friday, Rodney had his birthday, so it's like a huge birthday week for all these guys.
Didn't skip out on y'all.
Right. Well, if it was on your birthday, maybe. But he went to Tennessee to see his brother, so we don't blame him for that. But I wanted to let you guys hear their story and tell a little bit about the Dream Factory that we've been going through. We started this process back in November, like right before Thanksgiving. And we started with this idea that there is something within you, something that is within all of you, that God is leading you to be and to do. And we went through this process to help uncover that thing and like pull that thing out. And so we actually had five people on this journey. My friends Paul Reisler and Lauren Fuchs, they're from Athens. They have a church in Central Avenue Church in Athens, and they started a play cafe that we helped them get started, and they launched their play cafe on, like, I think February 20th, 2020. What's that tell you? Okay, so as soon as they started, they got shut down, and so they went through this process to, like, kind of revive that and get it going again. They've started, and then the three that hung through from our church. It's Danya here, Rodney, and Reggie. And these guys have been like stirring up this little dream that's been inside of them and kind of drawing that out. So what I'll do is, Rodney, would you mind just telling them what you're getting started with and this ministry that you're doing? I'll give the mic to you, and you can stand right here and tell us all about it, Rodney. This is Rodney Hendershot. Yep.
On this gorgeous day. I've kind of had, there's a few things I wanted to start up within the community for actually several years now, going on 10 years now. And it's kind of been laid on my heart the entire time, but the last few years while I went through really the toughest time of my life, failed marriage relationship and issues with my children and falling victim to addiction. And that just kind of added more to what I wanted to do in regards to serving the Lord. And during the Dream Factory course that I did here with Pastor Dave, it helped open my eyes quite a bit, because the things that I wanted to do, I knew somewhat, but I didn't know how I would start it or actually how to actually put that first step forward. And there was things that I was missing before it would ever have been possible. One of the things I made it finding out was the different spiritual gifts that I have, and in regards to things that I had somewhat of but hadn't fully tapped into, or I was completely unaware of until like these couple people here that helped open my eyes to actually get in touch with the spiritual gifts that I never even knew that I had. And one of which was never knew what I would call my own ministry until it was a few months ago. Waited on my heart, and I kept bringing it up for this reason or that reason, and never really went through on suggesting that title. And I kind of pulled Reggie aside, and I'm like, you know, maybe this is God's way of saying this is your ministry. And Reggie just kind of smacked me in the back of the head. He's like, it's about time. So, and out of which I'll be calling my ministry Synergy. If you don't know what the definition of synergy is, it's the working together of many different aspects to create an outcome that could not have been created by one alone, but only as a whole together. So one of the first things I'll be deploying for my ministry is we've got a few of them here in town on faith-based recovery groups. And but I've found, and including with interviewing some people in the community, that Because, of course, addiction and homelessness is one of the greatest tribulations we've got to struggle with here in Leakin County, especially in Newark. And of course, most of which that leads to addiction is traumas that we've had dealt through us throughout our life that we didn't properly deal with, or especially did not have Christ with us when we actually went through those trials and tribulations. So one of the first things I'll be deploying is a faith-based life recovery to try to help people from adolescence into middle-aged adulthood on things that we've been through a peer support network, that lived experience that we've been through, and that we can be that beacon for others that doesn't know how to see the light at the end of the tunnel like we had at one point, and actually finding a way specifically through Christ so that way before we actually ended up destroying our own lives and falling off track for the path that the Lord has set before us, so that way we can help spread the word of God and show one another that God's never left our side. And even during the worst moments in our lives, actually being able to see that how he was actually with us in each and every moment to help one another actually see that instead of coming blind to us and thinking God left us and falling away from our faith. Secondly, is wanting to go in out into the homeless community and sharing the word of God and showing that something that doesn't actually happen too much anymore in town is the outreach portion, and the outreach ministries here in town, due to COVID and the funds and everything, it's gone lacking. So we're not actually getting back out into the public and actually meeting other people as we're supposed to, meeting one another as where we're actually sitting in within our life. Instead of having them come to us when they find Christ, we go out into the world and find them and actually spread that word. And another thing that I made finding out while talking and interviewing people from the communities is many of us stress and worry about if we've done good enough in regards to raising our children, on if we've prepared them enough for actually adulthood. And as I came about, when I was in school, this course actually, as I found out, kind of the school was kind of weeded out. It was a life skills course to where anything that had to do with adulthood, yeah, they teach basic high school classes, courses, but they don't really teach people anymore on how to balance your checkbook, how to actually manage your funds, finding a proper job, living arrangements, and looking into what the bills cost for that type of housing that you're looking for, and how to actually manage your food, proper spending for it, including as practice interview skills, setting up a resume, and actually finding your own personal skills that you have set before to actually put yourself in the best position to find the best type of job that you possibly could based on your experience. And also, as we all know, most people don't even know how to work on their own car, check their own oil, change their own tires. So that's another aspect I'll be throwing into it, on that basic skills, to where if the smallest little thing happens in your life, you don't have to try to sit there and wait and depend on somebody else deplenishing what you've worked hard on for your own money, so that way you can actually take care of yourself. And that's just one of the few things that'll be the beginning startup on when I deploy my ministry here in the next few months. And thank you.
I've told some folks about what Rodney's up to, and they're not in recovery or anything. They're like, can I take that class? Because I need to learn how to do that stuff, because we've lost some of those skills. So, Rodney, we're going to pray for you at the end. But just hang out right here. This is Donya Hagman. Here's what Donya's been working on.
Throughout the course of the 6 months, we, in the beginning, kind of did a deep dive into our own history and kind of what makes us tick and kind of what began, kind of rooted our own passions. And for me, I just kind of discovered my passion was the heart of a woman. And especially, I found myself really having a heart for women with addiction. And that was something that I never really struggled with myself. And Reggie has one of my favorite quotes, and he said, you know, we are all in recovery from something. Amen. And I said, you know, that is so true. And someone asked me, what are you in recovery from? And I said, I think self-worth. And so that has kind of helped me develop what my team is presenting. So, are you a woman who has spent so much time taking care of everybody else that you have forgotten to take care of yourself? Or are you a woman who has made so many bad decisions that you have a really hard time loving yourself? Or are you a woman that just wants to enhance the best qualities of yourself? Well, we have developed a group that will help encourage each other, empower each other to help enhance and develop a really a good sense of developing a better sense of who we are in Christ. And whether you are new in your recovery or just old and tired like me, I promise you this group will refresh your soul. This is how we're going to do it. Every month, we are going to take a word of affirmation, and we are going to claim it. And if you're interested, text I am to 227-440-227-4838. And follow us on Instagram at the.im_project. And throughout the month, you will get occasional texts with journal prompts, prayers, and scripture. But mostly it will be social media posts about this month, the word is worthy. I am worthy. And so throughout the month, that will be the key word, and you will be getting those until it sinks in. And then June 18th at 9 a.m., we will be meeting at the Sage Space, and we'll be doing a very meaningful activity that will make our hike at Black Hand Gorge make a lot more sense and make it a lot more meaningful. Our hike at Black Hand Gorge won't be a real long hike, and it won't be super strenuous, but it will be a lot of fun. And the gatherings that we have every month will be to celebrate and proclaim the word that we went through all month long. And then we will go to the next word and the next adventure the next month. And that's how it's going to work. And I guarantee you, this isn't going to be your grandma's women's group. This is going to be a lot of adventure and a lot of fun.
That's great. You guys stick around. So, no ham salad sandwiches. That's what I remember from Grandma's women's group. These guys have been working hard through this process, but and we're going to do it again next fall. It starts off with this discovery thing, like discovery retreat that we took together that helps us understand how God has created us and used our experiences to get us to where we are now. And so what I'm going to do is offer that retreat to everybody. And you don't have to like start a new thing or anything like that, but I think everybody ought to go through this life discovery stuff because it's really amazing to grapple with our past so that we can inform our future and understand where God is leading us from where we have been. So we'll get to that. Oh, there's text coming in, Danya. They had their phones out. The IMs are coming in. It's good. Today's scripture, I'm asking them to stay up here because we're going to pray for them at the end. And today's passage from Mark chapter 10 was perfect for our commissioning today. And it talks about blind Bartimaeus. Let me read it for you. It's Mark chapter 10, 32 through 45. It says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many people rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So we're going to look at a couple different expressions of faith that Bartimaeus had in the course of this story. First of all, his name, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Bar, that prefix bar just means son of. So bar is son of Timaeus. Son of Timaeus. Timaeus means highly prized one. So Bartimaeus was the son of a highly prized one. Do you get that? Now, that means he was highly prized because he also was Timaeus. But Timaeus has another meaning, which also means unclean. There's some uncleanness about him. And of course, we know that he was blind. Blind Bartimaeus. That was his yeah, highly prized, but also there's this thing. How many of you feel like I have this thing that keeps me from being fully highly prized? Like, I know there's some worth in me. I know it cognitively. I can say it out loud, but I don't necessarily believe it in my heart because I've got this thing. I've got this thing that keeps me from being fully who I should be. And he must have asked these passersby, "What's going on? There's this whole crowd around. What's going on?" And the crowd replies, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is coming through." Instant name recognition for blind Bartimaeus. I've heard of this guy. I know who this Jesus is. Actually, he might have heard this Jesus of Nazareth has healed people with blindness, the similar uncleanness that I have. But there's also this name recognition, Nazareth. Now, Nazareth had a bad reputation. In fact, people said, and it's recorded in the scriptures, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. So the crowd was probably a sort of unfriendly crowd since they called him, "It's Jesus of Nazareth, nothing good comes out of there." But also, Jericho, the city they were in, was home, like a bedroom community. It was home to the temple workers. Like 20,000 of them lived there. So these are temple people. These are religious leaders. They're a crowd around Jesus who probably don't necessarily like what Jesus is doing because he's been hacking them off for 3 years at this point, and they're on their way actually to go to Jerusalem and kill him, actually. So they call him Jesus of Nazareth, but Bartimaeus has a different name. Bartimaeus has faith in the Messiah. He calls his name Son of David. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He calls him Son of David. Bartimaeus is setting a clear nod to the notion that Bartimaeus recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. He's the sent one from God. He's the deliverer. Jesus, Son of David, you are the one we have been waiting for this whole time. For thousands of years, we've been waiting for you. You're the one who can do this thing. You're not just somebody from Nazareth. You are the Messiah, and we've been waiting for you. And by calling Jesus Son of David, it might have polarized himself against the crowd that was assembled there, or at least around him. They told him in no uncertain terms to be quiet, right? They're like, quiet down, quit being a distraction. But Bartimaeus had faith in the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Savior of the people. He knew that Jesus was the anointed, chosen one that was meant to deliver him. Do you have faith in the Messiah? I'll turn to you guys. Do you have faith in the Messiah, the deliverer, the one that has called you? You guys are about to do a pretty heavy work that he's called you to do. But really, it's the Messiah is the one who will redeem it. The Messiah is the one who will bless it. The Messiah is the one who will make your ministry bear fruit. You can try as you might. It won't bear fruit unless you have faith in the Messiah. He's the one to do it. We have to have faith in Jesus, the Messiah. Here's another little thing Bartimaeus had. He had faith in the mercy. Faith in the mercy of Jesus. Here's his cry. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So he knew who Jesus was, and Jesus' reputation preceded him. He'd probably heard stories about blind people being restored by Jesus. And maybe he had a deep longing to meet this Jesus himself, but being a blind man, there's no way for him to get there. But then one day, Jesus just happens to pass by. He's right there. This Jesus who could feed the hungry, heal the lame, give sight to the blind, he's right there. And Bartimaeus knew of the miracles that Jesus had performed, the mercy that Jesus had showed to those who needed it. He had faith in the mercy of Christ. And when everybody told him to be quiet, what did he do? He shouted all the more. He just started shouting louder. He simply got louder, and he shouted all the more, knowing that Jesus surely wouldn't deny him the mercy that he needed. The crowd showed no mercy on this blind man, but Jesus would. And by the way, I think that's the proper response. When people tell you to shut up, just shout all the louder. Just shout all the louder. Especially if religious leaders are telling you to be quiet, just shout all the louder. There's going to be some people to tell you, calm down, slow down, slow your roll, stay in your lane. That's when you shout all the louder. Especially you. Yep. I already know Donya can. People might try to bury you when you're trying to do something for Jesus. But that's when you discover you're a seed and you're meant to be planted and you're meant to grow and go beyond, and then Jesus will bring the fruit in you. The whole point of what you want to do with these two big projects is so that the grace and mercy of Jesus will be known, not just in our four walls, but in the hearts and lives of people all over our community. It's our responsibility to share with them the mercy of Jesus. So he had faith in the Messiah, he had faith in the mercy of Jesus, and now this. Now, remember, he's blind still, right? He's still blind. He hasn't been healed. He's not received his healing yet. This is what happens next. He has faith in the message. Jesus stopped everything, this whole big crowd. He stopped everything and he said, "Call him. Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. It's interesting that this crowd once was telling him to shut up, is now telling him, "Hey, guess what? He's calling you. I guess we were wrong." The crowd is often wrong, by the way. They were delivering a message from Jesus himself, and blind Bartimaeus had faith in that message. think it's interesting that Jesus called him before he healed him. I think that's really key. He called him before the healing took place, and look at Bartimaeus' response. Threw off his cloak, jumped to his feet, and came to Jesus. He's still blind. He can't see anything. It's a cloud of darkness for him. He's not been healed yet, and yet Jesus called him. Too many people think they need to be perfect before they can come to Jesus. They think they need to be all the way healed before we can be called to do something for Jesus. But Jesus has called you simply to come, even though you have woundedness. Even though you still have brokenness, Jesus calls you to be in his presence. You still have weakness. You still have all the issues that you had before Jesus called you. Bartimaeus hadn't been healed yet. He jumped up and responded to the call, even with his brokenness. You're still there. Maybe you still have brokenness, weakness. Maybe you still need healing because you've not yet responded to the call. Maybe you've not quite been obedient yet, and you haven't been healed yet either. Jesus calls people sometimes before he heals people. And to get the healing, you might need to respond to the call. What's he calling you to do? Everybody has a call on their life. That's church language, actually. It's a great phrase, church language. Call, what's your call? Are you called to serve? Calling doesn't just mean you're going to be a pastor or start something new or whatever. What's Jesus calling you to be? What's Jesus calling you to do? Jesus' message is a call on your life. Does that message inspire you to throw off everything that would hold you back? Bartimaeus threw off his cloak. It was going to hold him back to get to Jesus' call. Or you throw off everything so you can respond to his call. What's he calling you to do? What's he leading you to throw off so you can join him in the work he's already doing? This isn't about the thing that you have to invent. This isn't the thing about like, I got to do this thing so Jesus will bless it. In fact, when we started this journey, Danya said, I don't know about this because I'm not quitting my job to start some new thing. That's not the call, is it? You don't have to quit your job to start this thing. This is identifying the work that Jesus is already doing inside of you. How have you been uniquely created, and then catching up with what Jesus is already doing around you, in you, through you? He's called you. Maybe before he's healed you. And the question is, will you respond? Bartimaeus had faith in the message that the people were delivering to him, but there's also this. He had faith in the miracle that Jesus was going to provide. I love this. Verse 51, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Jesus just asked him a simple question. What do you want? What do you want? A lot of it depends on tone. I remember when Abby was little, my oldest, when she was little. Sarah wasn't even born yet. That's how little she was. She was like maybe two. And we were living in Dayton at the time, and it was 4th of July, and Bethany was working. So I went with one of our youth group families to go disc golfing. You know what I'm talking about, the disc golfing thing? And it was one of those rainy 4th of Julys. So the grass was all wet, and you carry this chubby little kid around everywhere, you know. And so I put her down so I could throw. And then Abby goes over, like a little toddler, she goes over to this youth group boy who's in high school, and she goes, you know what that means, right? And he looks over and goes, what do you want? Like, everybody knows what she wants, but he doesn't want to give it to her. He doesn't want to provide that for her. I don't think that's the tone Jesus had. What do you want? I think he says, what do you want? How can I serve you? What can I give to you? What is inside of you? What is the desires of your heart? Jesus asks you, what is it that you want? The one in whom all things were made, the creator of the universe, a man on his way to his own death scene, stops. He calls a blind man forward and says, what do you want? So what do you want? Jesus might be asking you the same thing. What do you want? That first phase of our journey that Rodney and Danya took kind of helped take a deep dive into that question, what do you want? That's what a discovery retreat will do, you know? Like it uncovers your heart. What do you want inside of you already? What's there? We even did a bucket list of things you want to do. We had a whole matrix for that. What things do you want to do with your life? You've got one life to live. For Bartimaeus, he said he just wants to see. Rabbi, I want to see. Without his sight, Bartimaeus was a drain on society. He couldn't work. He couldn't fend for himself. He simply had to beg on the street. But with his sight, he became a productive member of society. With his sight, he could be a complete follower of Jesus. The discovery retreat helped you see, didn't it? It helped you see like, this is the thing I was made to do or to be. Then we figured out what to do with that sort of thing. I just got back from a discovery retreat in Alabama. We had 11 leaders down there from all over the country and Canada. We did the same process that we did with these guys. And it awakens a profound awareness that was revealed to them. Some of them pastors seeing for the first time how they can walk in line right with Jesus and how Jesus has created them to be. He had faith in this miracle that he could see. I don't know how healings work, to be honest with you. I don't really like what Jesus said. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. I don't like that because it sounds like, well, if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. I've seen healings work. Sometimes healings work with people who have a lot of faith. Sometimes they don't work with people who have a lot of faith. Sometimes people don't have much faith at all and they get healed. I don't know the answer to that. I've been consistently telling you that over the years. Like, I don't know. I just know we pray for them and we hope that they work and they'll get healed in one way or another. But healings always bring good news. And that's the last thing I want to share. It's a mystery how healings work, but blind Bartimaeus, he had faith in that mystery. Had faith in the mystery of that good news. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Look at the response he made to the miracle. Immediately he regained his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. He followed him. He didn't go back and get his cloak. He didn't say, hey Jesus, actually let's go over here. Now that I can see, why don't you show me around? Hey Jesus, how about you do my agenda? No. Blind Bartimaeus went with Jesus on Jesus' agenda. It's really not spectacular. It was just the next natural step for Bartimaeus to take after experiencing the call of Jesus. A year ago, Rodney didn't have a name for this or a process or a way to get to the next natural step that he's doing. A year ago, I don't think Donya even dreamed of this sort of thing, did you? Like, they didn't know. But now it seems like the next natural step. I've discovered what God's called me to do. Now I'm going to just take the step, and I'm just going to follow where Jesus is already working. I think there's a bit of mystery to that and how that works, but it's not that difficult to just take a step. Take a step with Jesus on the journey of life. I like the outline. I'll just wrap this up. The outline of this story is pretty fantastic. Let's just nutshell it. Bartimaeus. We got Bartimaeus, highly prized. Yet there's this bit of uncleanness there. In other words, he's like you and me. He's just like the rest of us. He's blind to his own potential. He had no clue what he could be. Bartimaeus knew of Jesus as the Messiah. He already actually had faith in Jesus the Messiah before he ever met Jesus. But then Jesus called him before he was even healed. Bartimaeus responds to the call by leaving everything he had behind to get to Jesus' call. And then Jesus asks him, what do you want? What's the thing that's already inside of you that I can draw out? What are the desires of your heart that I can fulfill? And Bartimaeus says he wants to see, to reveal to him all the goodness of life. And then he's immediately healed and lives into his calling to follow Jesus. And Jesus was on his way to death. That's what we want for everybody. You can live that way too. We spend a lot of time in the church talking about, I'm just going to pour into somebody. I'm going to pour into them. How about let's use what Jesus did and draw out. Let's draw out what's already inside of you. Draw out that goodness that's in there. You might feel like your sin, your uncleanness, your limitations, your whatever you have going on make you unworthy for Jesus' call on your life. But like Bartimaeus, maybe you're just blind to your own potential because you are a highly prized one. You are beautiful sons and daughters of the Most High God. You've got so much potential for what God can do in you. Never mind what God can do through you. Let's just draw out what God is doing in you. And maybe you're already accessing it, but maybe you need a little help to draw that out. Maybe you just need to join Jesus where Jesus is already working rather than trying to get Jesus to join you where you are. Maybe you just need to have faith in the Messiah, faith in the mercy, faith in the message, faith in the miracle, faith in the mystery that is the good news. And then take a step. Start taking that step and see what God is going to do in you. Like I said, we're going to do another round of those things. We'll do a discovery retreat. Everybody will be invited. We might limit numbers depending on how many there are because I think it does better in small. But we're going to continue to do those things. And you don't have to do this whole journey thing. We'll just see who wants to do that after we do the discovery retreats. But that'll be in the fall. We'll wait till the fall. So you'll hear some things in the summer as we sort out the details on those things. But start thinking about it. Thinking, praying about it. What's in there within me that maybe God's doing good work elsewhere? I want to pray for Danya and Rodney. I think we'll have you guys come down to the floor and we can gather around. Can the team come up and maybe you want to pray over them? Do you want to pray? I don't know. Yeah, go on down here. I got a gift for you too. That we can do. Would you guys join us in prayer? Can you bring up the house lights? Come on up and pray over Danya and Rodney if you feel led to do so. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you that we can experience a call on our lives, that we can be a part of something greater than ourselves, that even before we're ever healed, you will call us to be in your presence, to be in your service, to be just moving forward in a journey with you. You call us in our brokenness, in our woundedness, and then the healing comes. Lord, we ask that you work healing through these two individuals. Work healing in them so that their woundedness becomes a healing balm for somebody else. That their scars become a salve, an ointment that will help somebody else in their journey of faith. That the women that Danya encounters would experience and feel the worthiness of being loved, the worthiness of being in community with one another. That the people that Rodney would work with would be able to experience healing from the brokenness of addiction and homelessness and help them to be full members of society, contributing to their own families, contributing to their households, lifting up one another, depending on each other for love, community, for affection. Lord, we ask that you bless these two individuals as they journey from this moment forward, living fully into the call in which you've called them, and bless their ministries as they join you where they feel like you're already working. We ask that you bring the fruit in their lives and in their ministries. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.